Tomorrow's News Today.
Do you do IQ tester?
Yep, that's what we do.
Okay, because I think I need one.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. Why do you need one?
Well, I've had some people lately telling me I have a low IQ.
Ooh, shots fired. Gosh, who's been telling you that?
Well, some people online have been telling me that, like the president, and even my dogs are looking at me a little bit condescendingly now.
Well, we'll find out. So with this IQ test, I'll just ask you a series of simple, really common sense questions, and you just give me your best answer.
I'm actually kind of a little bit nervous right now.
Oh, yeah, you should be, because if you turn out to be what some would call a low IQ nut job, then you're pretty much a lost cause.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
All right, first question. Which word doesn't belong? Apple, banana, carrot, orange.
Is it carrot?
Very good, because it's not a fruit at all. It's clever. Next question. Who would be considered more of a traitor to their country? Person A, who receives $230 million from a foreign lobby, or person B, who receives $0 from a foreign lobby?
I mean, clearly person A.
Wrong.
Come on, that's got to be correct.
Next. Hypothetical question. If a country has a major shipping waterway that you want to have open, and it's currently open, but they'll close it if you go to war, what would be a smart way to ensure that waterway stays open?
You don't go to war with them.
No, not even close. I mean, common sense would say go to war with that country and stay at war with that country as a way of putting pressure on them to reopen it after they've closed it because you went to war with them.
Are you playing with a full deck?
I don't play cards, but thanks for asking. Oh, and this is a good one. If you had the desire to take down an international pedophile ring, what would be the best way to follow through on that desire?
Well, you launch a full investigation using every means necessary, and then you prosecute those bastards to the fullest extent of the law.
Wrong. No. You would launch an effort to prevent any investigations and prosecutions.
That can't be right.
Well, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah. These questions are kind of weird.
Oh, I assure you, these are standardized IQ test questions, sir. Next question. Here's a scenario. You got a person, they work for America and America only. What country does that person work for?
America?
That's incorrect. They work for Iran. Next question. Who's more beautiful as a woman? France's first lady, or maybe man, or Candace Owens?
Candace Owens?
No.
Have you seen France's first lady?
I would totally do her. If she had an OnlyFans, I would subscribe. Any reasonable man would. Okay, how would you describe what America first means?
Putting America's interests first above any other foreign nation.
No, you're actually describing anti-Semitism. Yuck. Okay, last question. What year did we first land on the moon?
We've never been to the moon.
No, we've been to the moon. We go all the time. Well, your test is complete. I've never seen a score like this before.
What'd I get?
You got an IQ of 65.
Is that high?
No. That's a very low IQ.
My life is literally ruined. He was right.
Who was right?
Just don't worry about that now. My big question is, what am I going to do with my life now that I've learned that I am so stupid?
Well, just remember, you're also a nut job. But yeah, you're pretty screwed. Really, the only option I can give low IQ people such as yourself is to, like, go off and open a Somali daycare.
I am completely devastated. Are you talking about that creature that looks like from the Lord of the Rings? The goblin thing that shuffles around beside Macron, whatever it is? You're saying she's beautiful? Okay. Beautiful to do like a gremlin, maybe.
Good.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
No matter what they say, women deep down love a patriotic guy who knows how to play beach volleyball.
I appreciate his body type and sense of fashion.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. We got a very, very big show for you. We'll be joined this hour, a little bit later, by Savannah Hernandez. Of course, she was assaulted by a family of goblins while out doing some good old-fashioned journalism and covering some leftist riots. We'll be talking to her and getting an update as to the latest and whether they've been arrested and charged and what exactly the future of free speech in this country is. Then we'll be joined in the second hour by Michael Yawn, in the third hour by Kyle Serafin, and then Matt Bracken takes over in the fourth hour to interview Victor Boot. That's going to be a very big interview. So giant show we have for you today. And we start off with that little meme video by Maverick Darby, which is interesting. I didn't know what it was. The crew said, we got this new meme video from Darby. You want to play it? I said, of course I want to play it. Let's do it. Not knowing that it had to do with J.D. Vance, which is very coincidental because that's exactly what we're going to start the show with. J.D. Vance is not having a very good couple of days. It's actually going terribly, not just for America, but for J.D. Vance in particular and his political hope into the future. There's actually a story here. J.D. Vance can't stop losing. And I'm not even criticizing J.D. Vance for this. He's really been given some impossible tasks, but they still aren't going very well. Obviously, the negotiations with Iran came to nothing. Not that they were ever going to come to anything, but they came to absolutely nothing, as in like almost less than nothing. As in, I guess we're going to have to start over, and that's apparently what we're doing. Iran and U.S. may resume talks this weekend despite port blockade, even though it's kind of not a port blockade because tankers are passing through the Strait of Hormuz on the first day of the U.S. blockade, including Chinese vessels defying Trump's blockade of the Strait of Hormuz as U.S.-sanctioned tanker brazenly sails through waterway unchallenged. So once again, I mean, this entire Iran conflict has been a series of bluffs, essentially. And the difference between these bluffs and some of the bluffs from our past is that Iran keeps calling them. They keep just doing the thing that they're not supposed to do, and then we don't respond, and that makes us look weak and makes them look stronger. And it's basically just been that on repeat over and over again. And so, of course, as we reported, I mean, I didn't think that there was any hope for a ceasefire anyway. Like, the negotiations were always kind of a farce because it was just the sort of escape that Trump needed the last time Iran called his bluff on, you know, committing genocide against them, essentially ending their civilization forever, as he put it. So I didn't expect there to be any really positive outcome from the ceasefire, especially not with Israel bombing Lebanon and flagrant violation of the ceasefire agreement that was agreed to by Trump, according to the Pakistan PM or president. But let's go to clip number 31 here. This is J.D. Vance doing an interview following the negotiations with Iran. He sort of changed his story a little bit and then said something he probably shouldn't have said. Here's J.D. Vance on Fox News last night.
We have the military advantage. We now have additional economic pressure that we're applying on them through the blockade that we've imposed on their oil coming out of the Straits of Hormuz. So we have a lot of cards. We have the leverage, and we're going to see what the Iranians do with that.
And so that's how the blockade works. U.S. naval ships stop Iranian-flagged vessels going to the Strait through the Strait of Hormuz?
Not just Iranian-flagged vessels, Brett, but any vessel that we know is going to Iranian ports or has come from Iranian ports. You're probably going to see some vessels try to reflag themselves, but of course we're going to know, because we have very good intelligence, which ships are going in and which ships are coming out that are connected to Iran. But Brett, here's the very interesting thing about all this, is that the only thing the Iranians have been able to do, they haven't, of course, beaten us militarily. They've had their military been decimated. They haven't been able to prosecute the case when it comes to weapons of war. What they have done is engage in this act of economic terrorism against the entire world. They basically threatened any ship that's moving through the Straits of Hormuz. Well, as the President of the United States showed, two can play at that game. And if the Iranians are going to try to engage in economic terrorism, we're going to abide by a simple principle that no Iranian ships are getting out either. We know that's a big deal to them. We know that applies additional economic leverage. And again, Brett, the president wants the Iranian people to thrive.
All right, so that's J.D. Vance kind of letting it slip that we're doing a little bit of terrorism. Again, maybe this sounded better in his head. Maybe he didn't mean to let it slip like this, but saying, hey, all they know how to do is terrorism and two can play at that game. Maybe not the best argument to make when this entire conflict rests on our moral superiority, our supposed and fabricated moral superiority. But it gets a little deeper than that, because if you really think about it, he said economic terrorism, a subset of terrorism, not terrorism in the classical sense, economic terrorism. And in that regard, we have been waging economic terrorism on Iran for years, and especially over the last year with Scott Bessent coming in, Treasury Secretary. We've played the clips over and over. He has made the statement over and over, multiple instances of him bragging about using tariffs, using economic warfare against Iran to inspire the uprisings that Mossad then armed in an attempt to overthrow the Iranian regime in this regime change war. Okay, so it's not exactly a, hey, if they can do it, we can do it. It's more like we've been doing it for a couple years now, and they're doing it back, I guess. But then there's, you know, not economic terrorism, just regular terrorism, which is more like what we're engaged in, bombing schools, bombing universities, bombing bridges, threatening to bomb the entire country. I mean, that's straight up terrorism. So we might be a little bit more guilty than Iran in that regard. And then there's sort of the terrorism that is aimed directly at the Iranian negotiators and leadership. From the Washington Post, this is a excerpt from one of their articles about the negotiations with J.D. Vance. They say, fourth, carry out a final barrage of leadership strikes, eliminating the Iranian officials who'd been spared for the purpose of negotiations. Iran leaders must be made to understand that their lives literally depend on reaching a negotiated settlement to Trump's liking. If they refuse to do so, they will be killed. It's like, what? I'm sorry, are we being run by Genghis Khan? What is going on here? What, it's like every level is terrorism. We've waged economic terrorism to put us in this, in the position where, you know, they basically felt like they were being backed against a wall and needed to fight. We've done just straight up terrorism, bombing their citizens with no strategic purpose. And now I guess we're engaged in extra, you know, whatever, double dare economic terrorism by threatening to blow up ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. Thankfully, so far, that appears also to have been a bluff, because it's not it's not really all that, it's not totally possible. I mean, it's just not very possible for us to do, considering the fact that if we want to close the Strait of Hormuz, we have to actually get close to the Strait of Hormuz, and we aren't capable of doing that. In fact, we're sending the USS George Bush, I think it is, the aircraft carrier, unless I have that name wrong. But we're not able to go through the land by Yemen because we're afraid of the Houthis hitting our ship. So as we speak, I believe it is the USS George Bush is now traveling around the entire continent of Africa to make its way up to the Persian Gulf because we apparently don't feel confident traveling through the Suez Canal. Which again is just, it's everything kind of coming apart. It's everything that we're trying to do failing and all of our threats coming to nothing. And the ultimate result of this is, of course, exactly what we've been telling you since the very beginning. Total economic collapse. Yeah, this is the image of the jets, Pakistan fighter jets, actually escorting the negotiators back to Iran because they know that they'll be killed. They know that because they didn't get an agreement, they were likely very high up on an Israeli/American hit list. And so they were actually escorted back home with a swarm of jet fighters. And I saw somebody online say, you know, it's not the jet fighters that are protecting them. It's the fact that the jet fighters are from Pakistan and Pakistan has a nuclear bomb, because what this war against Iran is teaching everybody, Iran in particular, is that you really need a nuclear bomb and you should really never give it up once you get one. That was the mistake Muammar Gaddafi made. So again, if your goal, as laid out by the Trump administration, is denying Iran a nuclear weapon, everything we're doing is counterproductive to that. If your goal is to better America and make us more unchallenged on the world stage, this is directly contributing to the collapse of that mission. So this is the strange part. I'm not even out of alignment with the stated goals of the Iran war. It's just the Iran war is obviously counterproductive to all of it, to absolutely all of it. And anybody who's paying attention just can recognize this and knows this, and everybody else is just lying about it. That's the only thing I can assume, because how do I know if nobody else does? But it's not just that the negotiations didn't go well for J.D. Vance, even though, according to the Iranian side of things, Iran-U.S. was, quote, inches away from a deal in Pakistan. And then maybe there was a phone call with somebody in Israel, and then everything fell apart. Darn it. Whoopsie-daisy. We were so close, but it just didn't quite happen. So again, it's not even that, like, J.D. Vance couldn't have gotten it done. It's just he has been given an impossible task. And I can't help but wonder if it's in part to destroy his, you know, political future. Because that is the outcome one way or another. He is being saddled with both the attack on Iran and the failure to stop the attack on Iran. And obviously, he and his media team are trying desperately to counteract that by having lots of articles come out about how J.D. Vance was the only one trying desperately to stop the war in Iran, which may very well have been true. But regardless, he is being saddled with the failures now. But it's not just that. It's the fact that J.D. Vance is an outspoken Catholic and Donald Trump is fighting the Pope. So there's that. And again, I'm not trying to, like, just fall into the cliches, but reality falls into the cliches. Cliches are cliches for a reason, and it's because they're constantly recognizable in actual life. And the cliche in this case would be that Donald Trump / the American government is the attack dog of Israel and is basically just at their beck and call. And if you look at the last couple of fights Trump has gotten in the last week, like today I get on, I think I went to Drudge or something, and there was a link that was like Trump at Maloney's throat, you know, Trump fighting the prime minister of Italy. And it's like, what the hell is this about? And it's like, Italy's Maloney suspends defense cooperation deal with Israel. Okay. All right, I got it. Trump comes out and says, we're cutting off Spain. We're not going to do any more work with Spain. We hate Spain. And you look at, well, why is he saying that? Oh, because also canceled their defense agreement with Israel. Okay, it's starting to make sense. Why is he fighting the Pope? Why the hell do you think? Why is he fighting Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and Alex Jones and Megyn Kelly and Marjorie Taylor Greene? It's all the same answer. They're all Israel's enemies. So again, not to fall into the cliche, but it's like, it's to the point where you can like answer questions like this just on this assumption. I see Trump is fighting Maloney. The first thing I think is she probably did something to Israel. Gee, what do you know? That's exactly right. Trump's not, he's not getting in fights. Like, there hasn't been a week of him, you know, going to the mat with Chuck Schumer or anybody on the left. Nobody here in America, not even the Republicans that are trying to pass amnesty or not passing the SAVE Act, he doesn't have very many unkind words for them. Of course, he has unkind words for the challengers of the likes of Lindsey Graham. But it's all for Israel. But it's all, so he's like, literally, it's just, if you want to know why Trump is doing what he's doing, the answer is Israel is instructing him. Israel is giving him treats and he is performing for them. It's very pathetic. It's very sad. It is not for the American interest. It is 100% in the interest of Israel. And it's just absolutely pathetic to see our country being ripped apart at the seams while our president starts fights all over the world and with us in particular over our lack of enthusiasm with committing suicide so Israel can become a world power and a global superstate. So J.D. Vance, again, is sort of caught in between his faith and the president. Pope Leo says he does not fear Trump, citing gospel as he pushes back in feud over the Iran war. In Leo, Trump faces a different kind of papal opponent. And by the way, I'm about to insult the Pope too, so don't get me wrong here. I'm not Catholic, and I think it's weird that a bunch of people in our country have a foreign king, even if he's from Chicago. That's weird too. And I'll get to why the Pope is falling into the same dichotomy everybody else is in just a second, but this is another aspect of J.D. Vance's continual loss this week as he loses over and over. Let's go to clip 32 here. This is Vance talking about the conflict between the Pope and President Trump. Let's watch.
Do you think that when the president says it's hurting him very badly, going catering to the radical left, it's hurting the Catholic Church? Do you agree with the president there?
Well, look, I think the president has the prerogative to set American foreign policy. He's got the prerogative to set American immigration policy. He has to look out for the interests of the United States of America. And that inevitably means that when the Vatican comments on issues of public policy, sometimes there's going to be agreement, of course, and sometimes there's going to be disagreement. I think that's a reasonable thing, Brett. I don't think that it's particularly newsworthy, but I certainly think that in some cases, it would be best for the Vatican to stick to matters of morality, to stick to matters of what's going on in the Catholic Church, and let the President of the United States stick to dictating American public policy. But when they're in conflict, they're in conflict. I don't worry about it too much, Brett. I think it's a natural thing. I'm sure it'll happen in the future, and it's not that big of a deal that it happened in the past.
All right, so, you know, I agree with J.D. Vance there, essentially. I mean, he's right. The Catholic Church is not helping America. Catholic Charities have been a major importer of a lot of the illegal immigrants. Israeli Catholic Charities fund the immigrants here and collect American taxpayer dollars to give to immigrants, which is especially absurd because they do the same thing in Europe, where the vast majority of immigrants are Muslim, and Christianity in Europe is already like teetering on the brink, and now almost every day there's a new church that's been burned by a Muslim immigrant somewhere in Europe. I mean, it's just full-on attack there, and yet the Pope says nothing about it. The Pope actually, if they do say anything about it, encourage and basically say it's a moral imperative that you allow yourself to be taken over and conquered. This is not Christian in the slightest. There's nothing Christian about this. It's Christian if somebody really needs help and you're actually helping them. It's not Christian for just some guy to come up to you, lie to you about a trouble that he's in, and then demand your money. That's you're not being charitable then. You're being a sucker. You're being a fool. There's nothing good or moral about being taken advantage of, right?
There's nothing moral about taking advantage of people, and there's nothing moral about being taken advantage of, about being a sucker or a fool who thinks you're giving to charity when really you're giving to a thief. There's nothing charitable about that. This is absurd. And at the same time, Pope Leo is performing this ceremony in a mosque or something. Pope Leo places a wreath of flowers and prays for the Algerians who died in the Algerian War of Independence against French colonial rule at this monument in Algiers. We can go ahead and play that video we have of him delivering this giant wreath, which is very interesting because apparently when it comes to Muslim countries, non-white countries, he's in favor of the natives violently throwing out the interlopers. He's in favor of decolonialism when it's white people who actually built the whole country being driven out by the native Africans. But if it's Europeans who don't want Africans there, if it's the native Europeans who don't want to see their countries taken over by colonists, then Pope Leo condemns them and says that they're being evil. So there is a severe disconnect here. There's a double standard that's very hard to ignore. As Harrison Pitts on X puts it, it turns out expelling unwanted foreigners is quote-unquote holy. After all, those expelled were Europeans. Everything Pope Leo condemns as hateful nativism in the West, he applauds as heroic decolonization in the Third World. Let's stop pretending this is in any way based. And of course, when you look at the Algerian Civil War in the first place, the whole thing was ridiculous. When the French showed up there, it was nothing. It was just like a couple runes from like a civilization that existed 1,000 years before. And then the French came in and built everything. And they built everything. It was a backwater, less than Third World. I mean, it was just nothing. And then the French came in, built it up for like hundreds of years. And then after hundreds of years of building up this country, the natives decide that actually this belongs to us and kicked all the French people out. And that's being celebrated and honored and glorified by the Pope, who goes out of his way to condemn lesser actions in Europe. Like, I was going to say the same thing in Europe, but it's not really the same, is it? It's not really the same. See, the Algerians murdered a bunch of French Catholics. They just like violently purged them and killed a lot of them. It was like very brutal, just sort of endless massacres. In fact, we have a sample here. The largest massacre of the day occurred at El Halal pyrite mining town, where about 130 European and 2,000 Muslims lived and worked together. The mob was composed of hundreds of Muslims, both men and women, who were mostly armed with farming tools, axes, sharpened shovels, or knives, and were led by 25 FLN members. They arrived at around 11 a.m. when most of the Pied Noir men were working in the mine and women and children were at home. A bloody massacre ensued in which European women were raped and disemboweled or decapitated. Children had their throats slit and babies were slammed against walls. Some of the local Muslim inhabitants initially watched without reacting, eventually joined in the excited mob as it massacred Europeans under chants of Allahu Akbar that blended with Algerians' women's ululations. The attack caused the murder of 37 Europeans, mostly women and children. Okay. So that's what the Pope is honoring and glorifying and placing a wreath at the tomb, you know, memorializing that. Meanwhile, if you simply want the government to stop allowing migrants into your country, the Pope condemns you as a hateful bigot, a xenophobe who must be opposed. But hey, bunch of Muslims slaughtering women and children because they're Catholic and French, that's a glorious act of decolonization. So this is the false dichotomy, and it's literally everywhere.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors, because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research, and then go to thealexjonesstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick.
Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air, but thanks to you standing with us as our partners in the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, please come quick. 'Cause I got some.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex Jones today. I'm very happy to welcome our guest, former InfoWars reporter Savannah Hernandez. She's a reporter and political commentator now working with TPUSA, who specializes in on-the-ground coverage of protests, rallies, and events across America. You can follow her on X at SavSays, S-A-V-S-A-Y-S. And of course, she was attacked while reporting on a protest, an anti-immigration protest over the weekend. Savannah, how are you? It's good to see you, and I'm glad you're not in the hospital or something. It was brutal.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Harrison. I am doing as okay as I can be given the situation. I am, you know, we're getting through it. I'm happy that I'm back home. I'm not in Minneapolis or Minnesota anymore, thank goodness. It feels like lawless pockets of the United States of America are very much alive and well. And a pretty jarring experience, Harrison. You and I spoke, you know, a little bit after it happened. And I feel like I'm just trying to I guess, mentally cope with what happened, which I feel like a threshold has been crossed, because typically in the West and, you know, in American culture, it's basic common knowledge that men do not touch women and children. But, you know, I guess we're just too far gone as a country now, where grown men are pushing down tiny journalists that are unarmed, then not attacking them.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, all of it was shocking. The way you were attacked was shocking. Of course, the fact that you weren't there trying to get interviews, you weren't there, because there is a difference if somebody goes in, you're going into a crowd that you know is hostile and you're kind of trying to get a reaction. And people do that. And if they get hit, it's not good. You're not supposed to do violence, obviously. But there's a certain amount of like, okay, they were expecting that. You were there by yourself, simply filming there as a journalist, capturing footage on the ground. And I guess people recognized you from TPUSA and decided to target you for that. Can you talk a little bit about just when you realized that they had identified you and how this all unfolded?
Sure. So basically, there is a man named William Scott Kelly, and he is the same Minneapolis protester that was arrested a couple months back for storming the church in Minneapolis. Remember the storming that led to children crying in terror because they were simply trying to worship Jesus Christ on a Sunday morning. And then these violent anti-ICE protesters went and mobbed the church and shut it down. He was a part of that. He was arrested for that. He is the person that came up to me and identified me on the ground. And he is the person that initially started screaming at me and started the mob, which formed around me. When I say started, I mean he was basically attracting all of the people by screaming at me that I work with Turning Point USA and that I was at this event. Now, I tried to tell people immediately and basically just defuse the situation by stating that I was not there to conduct interviews. I was simply observing. I even made a point to go stand next to the other streamers, right, who had their press vests on that clearly said press. I had my own press badge out, but I was like, let me just make sure that I'm standing with the press so that everybody, you know, can clearly identify that I am a member of the press. At one point, I had gotten some footage. Again, this was observational journalism, point and shoot, and then write a very basic summary of what is going on the ground. I went to the fence area on the public sidewalk to go and, you know, scrub through my footage and post it. And at that point, that's when William Kelly comes up to me, starts making a scene. At this point, a mob is forming, and it was a family. This was a family affair, Harrison, yeah. Chris, Diana and Paige Ostrushko, who all took turns violently assaulting me for simply standing on a public street. That's it. That was my crime, existing in the United States of America and standing on a public street. Now, the mom was the first one who came up to me. She started shoving me. She started very violently screaming in my face. She decided that I hate women and that I am, you know, racist, bigot, Nazi, like pick whatever name you want in your head. And that was kind of the energy she was putting out at me. And this is the labels that she had toward me. So she's being very aggressive. She's pushing me. She's shoving me. She's trying to get in my face. I'm trying to defuse the situation. Her husband comes up behind me, body checks me. Keep in mind, this is like a 250-pound man who's much bigger than me, Harrison, body checks me, screams in my ear. I try to walk away. The daughter comes up to me, starts blowing a whistle in my ear, 1 inch away from my ear. Alternate footage has come out, and it has shown that Chris told his own daughter, instructed his own child to go up to me and blow the whistle in my effing ear. He is quoted on camera saying this. So this was a premeditated attack. They planned this attack. They coordinated it. They orchestrated it. And then they had the audacity to say that I was the aggressor and that I was the person who went to agitate. Now, again, there are multiple angles of this. There were multiple live streamers there. This assault was so violent that even the left wing had to come out and say, yeah, we probably shouldn't touch women. That's a bridge too far. Yeah, that was a bad look. But, you know, I'm truly baffled by this because, you know, I'm familiar with the left wing, Harrison. I'm familiar with how violent they are. And it's why I made a point not to even try to speak to anybody, but merely observe. But in 2026, it doesn't matter. For merely existing on a public sidewalk, I was brutally assaulted multiple times. I had a whistle blown in my face. I had sex toys thrown in my face. I was pushed to the ground, shoved to the ground by a 250-pound man while my back was turned away and I was trying to leave the situation. It was insane, Harrison, to live through the rewriting of a narrative in live time, right? This woman, this father instructs his daughter to go up to me to assault me. She begins doing it. I'm trying to walk out. I have my hand up like this, like, give me my personal space. Because my hand touched her, she swings on me. After she attacks me, her mom comes up and says, "You touched my daughter." Her mom tries to swing on me. And then the dad comes up and then pushes me to the ground. Because after his daughter attacked me and I had the audacity to try to walk away, that was somehow an assault on their kid. So anyways, sorry to take over here.
No, the whole thing is just completely insane. But you touched on a lot of things that I wanted to bring up as well, because it wasn't even necessarily like they recognized you and knew of your work and didn't like you. It was because you worked for TPUSA, which is really shocking. I mean, we're, you know, less than a year, what, 8 months away from Charlie Kirk's assassination. And the result of that has been more hatred of TPUSA and more radicalization of the left. I mean, it's insane. TPUSA is not a radical outlet. It is, you know, no offense. It's like, you know, I don't want to call it normie because it's right wing. It's good. I like TPUSA. But the left has seen their successful assassination of Charlie Kirk as like a green light. Like, we can attack these people now. It's really sick.
Yeah, Harrison, this isn't the first time, by the way, that I've been on the ground simply doing the point and shoot journalism, that people have looked at my press badge, seen that I work with Turning Point USA and have made a point to come up to me, to harass me, to threaten me, to make me feel uncomfortable, to essentially highlight how Charlie's death was justified. And now, you know, this is kind of the apex of that, me just being assaulted for simply being on the ground. I was speaking to some of my other journalist friends as well who've been in Minneapolis, and they were like, yeah, Minneapolis is on the same level, if not worse, than Portland. Now, if people don't remember what Portland in 2020 was like, people were getting shot and killed.
Right.
When Antifa found out that they were right wing or conservative. Yep. And I have a lot of anger, Harrison. I'm grateful because both the DOJ and DHS now have active investigations into potential charges. The state, or at least the sheriff's department in Minneapolis, said that they are recommending charges. I am going to do everything that I can to make sure that charges are brought forth against these people, and we will be using other avenues as well to hold them accountable personally on my end. But
well, and I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, I believe the daughter was arrested, and when the police went to arrest her, her boyfriend like started fighting the cops. He got arrested. He's an illegal immigrant. So and apparently the woman is now, you know, out on bail, but apparently she was arrested and charged. But that was my next question, because it seems like you have the premeditation aspect. We'll play the video, because I know you don't have very long. We have to say goodbye to you in just a second. But once you leave, we'll play the video that shows they planned this out. Go blow the, you know, whistle in her ears. That's assault by itself. So it's like premeditated. They're insulting you and your race. I mean, that would be hate crime charges, obviously attack on a journalist.
And my religion, Harrison, and my religion.
So it's like this isn't just a, you know, if they get away with like, oh, assault and battery, like, no, this needs every charge we can throw at them. How confident are you that these people will have justice rendered to them?
I'm going to do everything in my power, but I need the federal government to step in and make sure that they bring charges forth. I sat in front of the president of the United States last October at an Antifa roundtable to talk about this exact same thing. I looked Pam Bondi in her face and I said, please use the full force of the DOJ to come after these people and lay down the law. Because for this isn't just about me, Harrison. Okay, I'm one of multiple journalists who have been brutally assaulted at this point, who have had my First Amendment rights trampled over. But this is not just about me. It's about all of us. It's about sending a strong message that this is a country of law and order, and we need to abide by basic law and order. We should not be a country that is okay with watching a 250-pound man slam a young woman to the ground. So I want justice to be served, and I hope and pray that every federal agency involved is able to bring forward charges and that there is follow through on this. Again, they have been very responsive, which has been incredible. We need to see the follow through because this is not about me. This is about every single journalist who has been attacked, because at this point, Harrison, it's not even just a right wing issue. You also have the left wing. It doesn't matter, you know, what side of the political aisle that you are on. If you go and try to film these people, they are criminals. They are committing criminal acts and they do not like being filmed doing it. And that is why they have used violence for almost a decade at this point. No, it has been. It's been over a decade at this point since Donald Trump came down that golden escalator. This has been the scene and it needs to stop.
Yep. 100%. And of course, there's the guy right next to you. That's the William Kelly guy who actually should be in jail right now because of the terrorism he committed against the church. And so I saw Harmeet Dhillon on X going, "We are on it." It's like you were supposed to be on it back then. You were supposed to be on it 6 months ago when these people committed federal crimes, and yet they're out doing it again. So tell me that you're on it. Fine. But, you know, we'd like to see some results. I know you got to go. I thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I know this is difficult for you to talk about. How can people support you, and how can people, you know, keep up with this story that as you, you know, pursue justice? How can people find you?
Please go follow me on X at Sav Says. Go follow me on YouTube at Sav Says as well. I will be, like I said, seeing these cases through, and I will make sure that the public is fully aware of you know, how this ends, but I will be following through with it. So go follow me there and I will be posting updates. Thank you for having me, Harrison.
Thank you very much, Savannah. And we're glad you're safe. It's always harrowing seeing an attack like that, but especially when it's somebody you know. And, you know, she didn't have security. Since then, I've had like a ton of people call me and be like, "Can I get Sav's contact? We want to volunteer security." Stuart Rhodes is like, "We will have Oath Keepers surrounding her in a phalanx. You just give me the word." And obviously seeing that video, I mean, you're not a human being if you don't start seeing red and wanting the justice system to be a little bit more brutal and efficient than it currently is right now. Because as she points out, this is not what we do, but it's becoming what we do. We are becoming a culture of mercilessness and savagery and dog eat dog, just might is right mentality. And it's you know what humanity spent 2,000 years fighting and sacrificing our way out of, we're just devolving back into it because the other option is just be kind of mean to bad people. Not even mean, just like lay down the law and just throw the criminals in prison and not be sorry about it. That's literally all we have to do, and everything would be fine. We seem incapable of doing that. But I say, even again, you know, the glimmer of hope is that you see the left-wing streamers that were there with Savannah. So as she said, she was kind of standing around other streamers that were there. Most of them were leftist. Now, when Savannah gets attacked and thrown against the fence, you can see the William Kelly scumbag domestic terrorist. I'll leave it there. You know, he's standing right there. And instead of defending her, he like moves out of the way so she can keep being attacked. Some of the guys, to their credit, see a woman get attacked and immediately have the instinct to turn around and block the attacker. Thank God there's still some remnant of classic American mentality going on, which might give you a little bit of hope. But then you want to ask these people, like, you get that this is your side, right? Like, this is the left. This is not out of character of the left. This is not, oh, some crazy extremist that you can't, you know, blame this on his ideology. No, this is y'all. No, this is what you believe. Now, the fact that that this family is, quote unquote, Iranian-Ukrainian is just sort of another layer of, I don't know, the simulation winking at us or something. But this is the left. This is who you people are. This is what you support. And so when you're faced with it directly, some of these leftist streamers, they still have that, you know, remnant in their lizard brain, the instinct to be outraged and infuriated and experience the righteous indignation at a 250-pound goblinoid attacking a young woman, they still have that instinct. And the question is, like, where is it the rest of the time? Okay, but where is it the rest of the time? You are here actually protesting against ICE, whose entire job is protecting innocent people from the ravages of psychotics like the ones you're aligned with. So where's the consistency? Where's that protector instinct when it actually matters and on the political realm? Not that it doesn't actually matter with Savannah, but where is that instinct when it comes to the nation at large? I don't know. I don't get it. But it's like that glimmer of hope that's like, okay, they're not totally brainwashed. Some of them aren't. People like that Kelly guy, people like the family themselves, like, okay, they're a lost cause. They just need to be decommissioned. They just need to be kept out of any influence whatsoever and probably locked away for their own good, if not deported to the ocean. Like, whatever. We don't need them. We don't like them. We don't want them. But there are some people that think they're on the left, think that being a moral, good person, having that instinct to protect means that you should go on the left. How are you falling for this? Because this is the ultimate trick of the left, is they hijack the best instincts of people. They hijack the good things that we want to preserve, the instinct to protect, is then wielded against them as you're told, oh, you have to protect the endless flow of adult men into Europe. That is what is, you know, loving and good. It's absurd and it's backwards. So it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. Let's go to that video just to show people what we're talking about here. Again, the absurdity and the headline says it all. Far left anti-ICE extremist now plays victim after brutal assault on TPUSA reporter Savannah Hernandez. It's one of these situations where they know they're lying. They know we know they're lying, and yet they're lying. And typically that sort of phrase is attributed to people at the top, but no, it's trickled down. No, they get it too. And I've talked about this for a long time. I remember in 2016, in the run-up to the Donald Trump election, there was a false flag attack against a church where there was like a swastika and I think some slurs about gay people written on a church. And it turned out it was the gay choir director of the church, and he's being interviewed. And they're like, why did you do this? And he's like, well, it was a false flag. He's like, I did a false flag because I wanted people to understand the threat that we're under with Trump. Now, if you really like wrap your mind around what that is saying, like they're imagining a threat. They're mad that we aren't also imagining the non-existent threat. So then they do the threat. They do the thing that they're warning about to prove us wrong that we weren't concerned about it. I mean, on its own, it's shocking that anybody would have the ability to think this way and not go insane. But really, the important thing about this, in my mind, was that people understand now. You don't need a massive conspiracy to pull off a false flag. Typically, the way it would go was that you would have these plans in place. You'd have people in different positions all playing their role. You'd have the people in the media. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's how you spin it. Here's who you blame it on. And you have this, you know, smoky rooms and this collaboration taking place. It's not really necessary anymore. Now the left knows I can lie and the media will run with it. I can attack Republicans, say they attacked me, and the media will report my story as fact. They just know that. They know that's the case, and so they act like that's the case. So when they're the ones complaining about the post-truth world and the damage that the Trump administration has done to trust in this country, they have fully enveloped themselves in this mindset of whoever can lie the best wins, whoever can just lie continuously, no matter how obvious it is they're lying. That's the way you succeed. See, we used to, or theoretically had, a society where you were rewarded for telling the truth. Even if it was a bad thing, you told the truth because it was the right thing to do. And you recognize that, like, everybody's lying all the time. There's no way we can solve any problem ever because we can't even identify the problem. We certainly can't identify the solution. You try to make a solution, the solution ends up just filling the pockets of the person that caused the problem in the first place. This is the situation that we're in because of this incremental acceptance of the lies, acceptance of the false flags, acceptance of the just total inverted interpretation of world events. It's absolutely insane. And as Americans, we just shouldn't allow this to be the case. But obviously, there is this side. Again, I don't even know if left and right is the right designation. But whatever these sides are, in my opinion, there are two sides. There's Savannah Hernandez and the people who were standing around her protecting her. And there were the psychotics protesting ICE and attacking her. Those are the two sides. Define it however you want. If you believe that a reporter deserves to be viciously attacked for merely having different opinions than you, you're not on our team. You're not American, so you shouldn't even pretend to be. If, however, you believe in free speech, you believe in the right of even those you hate to speak freely, then you're on our team. And if you'll protect innocent women from psychotic goblins, then you're on our team. This is the real division here. at the end of the day. Let's go to this video quickly, and then we'll finish out the segment. But here's these attackers pre-planning, plotting their attack to assault Savannah Hernandez. Even if they never touched her, blowing a whistle full volume in somebody's ear to deafen them is obviously assault, as it can cause permanent damage and hearing loss. Let's watch.
Don't write up.
Where's
the whistle? It's in the car. Just the whistle right there. Right in her ear.
Don't try to get whistle right from the
whistle in her.
So again, you just have this crowd, this mob surrounding Savannah there. They don't realize they're in front of a camera that's streaming as they are literally plotting their attack right there. So that's pre-planning. You know, that means you can't say, oh, this is the heat of the moment or whatever you'd want to argue in court. This is pre-planning. And then I would wonder if they... There's just so many ways to go after these people. And if these people, basically if these people don't go to jail for years, we're going to have a major problem. And it's sort of the final litmus test for the Trump administration. Maybe not the final one, but like the Trump administration is hanging on by a thread. They're collapsing in the polls across the board. And almost all of it is because the Iran war is happening while American interests and domestic American issues are going totally unaddressed. One of the primary ones being the insanity, the domestic terrorism, the violence of the left, as people who storm into church and terrorize children are let out to go do this again, like that guy William Kelly. That's one of the biggest issues with the Trump administration, and it proves to all of us that had big hopes for the Trump administration, they're not serious about correcting things, because you need to correct this almost first and foremost. Correct this, and then you can do the deportations without a lot of interference, right? Do this, and then we can go out and cover stuff and have free speech and hold protests and not have to worry about being assassinated during it. This is a problem, if solved, could solve a bunch of other problems, but they're not doing that. So if the Trump administration felt like winning the midterms, if they had any inclination whatsoever to preserve the Republican Party as a political entity, then they would be pouring all of their effort into this, and they would be making a giant public show about just how effective and, you know, zero tolerance their position on leftist violence is. So that's up to them. I got to tell you, folks, thealexjonesstore.com, it's the only way that we get funds. And I want you to pay attention, because a lot of times we have a lot of sales. Sales are constantly starting and ending. You hear the term last chance a lot, because it'll be like, oh, the sale's about to end. It's your last chance to get it. It's your last chance to get the raffle for the car. Folks, it might be your last chance ever to get InfoWars branded material. Once InfoWars goes down, we cannot sell anything with InfoWars logo on it. So now is your actual last chance ever to get InfoWars branded material at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, to let them know who sent you. Second hour begins on the other side.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to thealexjonesstore.com and picking up a bottle of zeolite. Light.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.